I'd like to welcome you to this funeral service of our dear loved one and our brother, Jerry Peterson. We welcome not only those who are physically here present, but also those who may be watching online, whether in Ontario and other parts of the world. And we pray that we would be comforted from the Word of God this day. Our dear brother, our friend, Jerry, was a kind, reflective gentleman. But above all, he was a Christian who was always speaking or reflecting upon the gospel in some way. Even in the last day of his life, in the days of his life, when you would visit him, you would usually find him reading some piece of Christian literature or some books. And while the last year and a half hasn't been easy for him since the passing of his dear wife, he knew where to find comfort for his soul, that he had the only comfort in life and death, which was belonging to his faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that really what we confess in the first Lord's Day when we're asked, what is your only comfort in life and death? The answer then is that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yes, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready from now on to live for him. And this is the comfort in which your loved one has passed away. And that gives us peace which surpasses all understanding. It is the only comfort in life and in death. Now, since Doreen's passing, Jerry was often troubled. You'd find him simply gazing at a picture of his dear wife. And you knew that when she died, that part of him died too. And we often reflected on the first verses of John chapter 14. And those verses too were one of the passages that he had listed as a possible text for the funeral, along with Psalm 23, which we'll focus on today. But in the beginning of that chapter, we read, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And so faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, it brings comfort to the soul. And it brings comfort because we realize the inheritance that awaits the people of God, that he's prepared a place for them, and he will come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. And Jesus confirms the way when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." And we are left with this same comfort through the gospel, aren't we? And even in the face of death, we confess that not even death can retain its grip upon our dear brother, because our catechism reminds us that death has changed for the believer. And it asks, since Christ has died for us, why do we still have to die? And it answers in such a victorious way when it says, our death is not a payment for sin, but it puts an end to sin, and it's an entrance into eternal life. And so we come here this morning with the hope of eternal life because the Lord Jesus has conquered death, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 when he says, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" We have a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel has rich meaning for us, not only in our lives, but even more so at our death. Because then we cross over the brink of eternity and we stand face to face in the presence of God. And it's then that the good news of the gospel becomes more relevant than at any other time in our whole life. And we have the comfort in knowing that our loved one too will one day rise again from the dead. For Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And so our catechism expresses the Christian hope when it asks, "What comfort do you receive from the article about life everlasting?" And it says, "Since I now already feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, I shall after this life possess perfect blessedness, such as no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, a blessedness in which we may praise God forever." And let us join our voices in the praise of God as we sing from Psalter, in the Psalters in your pew, from Psalter 398 together. "The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand." 398, and we sing all the stanzas. At this time, I'd like to read the obituary that has been written by the family. I do so not only for those who are here present, although you find it in your program, but for those who may be watching online so that they could hear it as well. And so I'll read it to you. Geerling Petersen was born on June 28, 1934, in Nijkerk, the Netherlands. Jerry was raised in a Christian family home with two brothers and one sister. After completing his early years of school, he attended college in Amersfoort, where he played college soccer and graduated in international economics. He, along with his family, immigrated to Canada in 1950 on the Volendam and landed up in Ontario. Here he worked to help support the family. He worked in a bakery, helped his father on the farm, and helped establish an import food store with his mother. He started a delivery service selling Dutch articles to immigrants who lived around them. He even raised nutrias, which are river rats, on the farm. He made a pen by a ravine, and when they were big enough, he would kill, strip, and dry them and sell the fur to make some money. After some time, he married Doreen Edith Day on August the 19th, 1967, in the London Christian Reformed Church, and have a son, Daniel. He began studying for his brokerage license for real estate and ran an office for 30 years before retiring in 1998. Jerry's love for the church showed in his commitment to participate in a weekly choir and how he assisted with the property purchase, design, and building of the London Free Reformed Church. On May 14, 1989, he did his confession of faith in the London Free Reformed Church. The text was Isaiah 48:16-17. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go. From Ontario, Jerry and Doreen moved to Victoria, to Qualicum Beach, and finally Chilliwack. They spent many hours playing board games with church friends and family and hosting dinner parties. Jerry loved to watch CNN for the latest in news, listen to classical music, and reading. He always had a book or some sort of reading material in hand. If any of you have prepared a cup of coffee for Jerry, you know he would have preferred 2/3 cream to 1/3 coffee, and had a liking for anything sweet, especially mocha tarts. When they could no longer attend church, they listened on sermon audio and kept in touch with visits from family and friends. Since Doreen's passing on February the 16th, 2021, Jerry longed to depart and be with the Lord. And on August 16th, 2022, this prayer was answered, and Jerry peacefully entered his eternal rest, safe in the arms of Jesus. Let us come before God in prayer. O Lord, our God and our Father, we come into your holy presence on this particular day, this sober day in which we reflect not only upon the life which was, but with thankfulness we also may reflect upon what the life which is. We are thankful that when we lay a loved one in the grave who trusts and rests in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may know and be assured and comforted that he continues to live. And while he is no longer present here with us, and he is absent from the body, he has gone up to be with you. And Lord, this gives us great comfort in this day. And we pray, Lord, that you would grant comfort to us. We pray for the family members. We remember those who are absent from us in Ontario, or even here in British Columbia, or in the Netherlands. We pray, Lord, that you will bless them and grant comfort to them. We pray particularly for Dan and Pam, who could not be with us today because of illness, but we pray, Lord, that as they perhaps are listening online, that you will nevertheless grant comfort to them through the Word of God, and that they would look to Jesus as their only comforter. Lord, we pray with thankfulness also for the family members who could come, and those who are present here, Jerry's sister as well as two nieces. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless them and grant comfort to their souls. And we pray that you'll be with each one of us. Lord, you know that in the church family that that our brother Jerry and even our sister Doreen had a special place in the hearts of many of us here, and that their presence will be missed by us. And we are thankful, Lord, for the time that we could spend with them and the opportunities we had to minister to them. Lord, we pray that you will bless, continue to bless each one of us and to comfort each one of us in your holy word, that we too would look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we pray that as a result of even this funeral service, that those who hear the gospel this day might be drawn to Jesus as the resurrection and the life, as the one who gives life to those who trust in him. Bless the word to us this day and encourage us in the gospel. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Congregation, we sing the hymn which you find in your program, Great is Thy Faithfulness, a favorite of our brother Jerry. Great is Thy Faithfulness. You find it on the back cover of your program.
Thank you.
Congregation, we read together from Psalm 23. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dear family and friends, congregation, we have come here together as loved ones of our dear late brother, Jerry Peterson. And in the last year and a half since Doreen's passing, he faced a great deal of discouragement. There were times when he was overwhelmed, no doubt. I mean, if you visited him at all, you realize that there were times when he was quite saddened that his wife was no longer with him. But even in the darkest times, he still expressed his hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that sense, Psalm 23 is no doubt a verse that he reflected on occasion. And we hope to consider the first part of verse 4 at this funeral service and also at the graveside itself, where the psalmist says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." In the first three verses of this psalm, of course, which is a psalm of David, as we all know, David's talking about the shepherd. He's using those great personal pronouns. He speaks of the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. He says, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And immediately you recognize that the relationship between David and the shepherd is one of intimacy. David knew the shepherd, and the shepherd knew him. And it was a blessed relationship. And what a blessed relationship it is for the sheep to have such a shepherd as our God. Jerry had that kind of shepherd, and he had that kind of relationship to the shepherd, didn't he? And these verses, the first verses of this psalm, are reflective of this relationship that the sheep have with the shepherd. It's a confession, you might say, of faith, isn't it? But the real depth of this relationship is not seen in the green pastures or even beside the still waters, but when the sheep are led through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, when we're living in times of comfort and peace and prosperity, we tend to forget God. But when we face trouble of any kind, we are more likely to cling to him. That's what some of the purpose of trials and suffering and troubles in this life are, so that we do not cling to the things of this life, but we cling to God as the giver of life and the one who can comfort us in all of our afflictions. Just think of the fact that when we face troubles, how quickly we are to cry out to God. We think of relationships that are very intimate and close. Think of a relationship of a child towards their mother. They can be playing contently in the playground with their playmates without a care in the world and so focused upon the things which they are playing with, the little trucks or the little dolls, and they're so consumed with what's before them. But suddenly, out of nowhere, there's this loud clap of thunder and the lightning flashes in the sky, and the children no longer think of their playmates. They no longer think of their toys with which they're playing. But they run to their mother's arms, and they cling to her in safety. Well, that's the way it is with the Lord, isn't it? God uses troubles in our lives, also the passing away of a loved one, to draw us to him. But there's a change that reflects during that time, isn't there? In the first part of the psalm, we said that the psalmist David was speaking about the shepherd, but now suddenly we see a change as we come to our text where he's speaking to the shepherd. He says, For though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And there's a great difference, isn't there, between talking about the shepherd and talking to the shepherd. When there's a close relationship between two individuals, they're never satisfied simply in talking with others about them unless they are also given the opportunity to talk to them. For instance, when you're married, you might talk about your spouse to others, hopefully always in a positive light. But then you know, of course, that you take particular delight in talking to your spouse. So there's a wonderful privilege we have when we can talk about God and when we can tell the others about the Lord and what he's done in our lives. But it is even more wonderful and more glorious to be able to talk to the Lord. And that's what David's doing in this particular psalm. He spoke about the shepherd. He spoke about how that the Lord was his shepherd and that how that brought comfort to him and assurance and peace, that he was restored and he was led and he was provided for in every way. But when he finds himself in trouble, we read, "For you are with me. You comfort me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me." And so there's a wonderful change that occurs in this psalm. Now maybe you think on occasion that you have, by your sin or your rebellion against God, somehow so tainted the relationship that you no longer can speak to the Lord. After all, maybe you've neglected him. You've been in the green pastures. You've been feasting upon his provisions, but you've failed to acknowledge him for them. Why would he allow you to talk to him now? Do you have any right to speak to him when you find yourself in the valley of the shadow of death? Many people will struggle with this on their deathbed, won't they? Do they have any right to come into the presence of God? Will he listen to me after I have not heeded his voice for so long? Will the shepherd now forsake me? Sometimes we think that way, don't we? But the New Testament tells us that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he washes us in his blood, and then as the good shepherd, he keeps us. When we've been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it means that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Even when we can't hear his voice, even when we can't see his face, it may be dark, but we know that he is never absent from us. And it's a ploy of the devil to somehow think that we have to earn our right to come into the presence of God, but Jesus Christ has done so by the shedding of his own blood, hasn't he? And so when we find ourselves in trouble, whether it's grief or sorrow or affliction, don't hesitate to flee to him. Cling to him. Cling to him in spite of your past sin. Cling to him because he's the only one who can provide forgiveness for that sin. Cling to him because he's the only one who can help you. And so David is talking to the shepherd because he finds himself in a very dark place. Our translation, as most translations have translated it, as the valley of the shadow of death. And when we think of a valley, we generally think of a long, wide plain covered with lush green grass, with sloping hills on both sides, with maybe a river meandering lazily through the middle of it. We think of places like the Fraser Valley or the Okanagan Valley, a place of life. But that's not what David thought of when he thought of the valley of the shadow of death. In Israel, the valleys were called wadis, where there would be steep inclines with narrow winding paths descending into the barrenness of the valley itself. There would be danger in walking down these paths. And in the bottom of the wadi, often there would be rocks and it would be a treacherous terrain. It would be a very dangerous place. And so the valley of the shadow of death is the valley of the deepest darkness, the dangerous place that there was. Your loved one found himself in those places sometimes. But even then, we can be assured of God's abiding presence. Because it's the valley through whom the Christian walks, and we'll come to that at the graveside. Really, this could be translated the valley of the deepest darkness. It's not referring to death per se, although death is not excluded from this valley of the shadow of death. It is the place where there is difficulties and troubles and trials, not just in death, but even in living. Sometimes it's harder to live than to die because of the things we face in this broken, fallen world. But the Good Shepherd is always leading his people, not only in the green pastures and beside the still waters, and because that's the place where it's easy to lead the sheep, isn't it? But into the valley of the shadow of death. And the Good Shepherd has ordained this path too, and he sends his sheep into these deep, dangerous valleys. And the sheep there are vulnerable. They are vulnerable in the best of circumstances. But in the dark, they are virtually helpless. They are vulnerable to the attack of the enemies wherever they might be, but when it is dark and the terrain is treacherous, they are exposed. So that their only hope is in the guidance and the protection and the provision and the leading of the shepherd. And so David speaks to the shepherd. We need this close relationship to the Lord, don't we? Especially when we face troubles in life. Do you talk to the shepherd? Is it a reflex of your faith to flee into the arms of the shepherd when you face trouble, when you face trial in your life, or even when you find yourself on your deathbed? Do you trust him when you are afraid? Are you in such intimate relationship with him that you are conversing with him as you go through your day, whether it's in the green pastures or beside the still waters or into the valleys? And sometimes our prayers in the dark are but groanings, aren't they? They're groanings. But the shepherd hears us. Because of the relationship that we may have with him by faith. And we can trust him to preserve us in the valley of the shadow of death. We can cling to the shepherd and doing so we are trusting in him. And David says, I fear no evil. And that's a remarkable statement to make considering the place he was at that particular time, the valley of the shadow of death. He says, I fear no evil. And why does he fear no evil? He says, because you are there with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He's to be trusted. And so we are to look to him in faith at every moment of our lives. And sometimes the Lord, in order to make his mercy and his grace more clear to us, he leads us into these valleys, doesn't he? He puts us in these circumstances of difficulty and trial in order that he might show to us and demonstrate to us the infinite resources at his disposal, his abounding grace towards us. Because sometimes we can only understand the extent of his mercy to us when we face troubles which are unimaginable. The valley of the deepest darkness. And the reason we can trust is because we know that even in the face of death, as we are faced with today, that there is hope. Because Jesus Christ has gone that way before us. He has gone into the valley of the deepest darkness. And he's experienced the full weight of our sins upon the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus is the one who experienced for us the judgment that we deserve. He went into the deepest darkness imaginable. Not just the valley of the shadow of death. It wasn't just a shadow to him, but it was the full weight of the implications of all of our sin that he endured in the darkness. And there was no one there to protect him from the enemies. He had no companion to travel with him. He was even forsaken of his Father when he says, "Why have you forsaken me?" The Lord Jesus was alone, experiencing the judgment of God. No one traveled that road with him. He had no comfort. As we can have this comfort when we travel into these dark places, when we face death, we have this comfort which is the only comfort in life and death. Jesus says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." The Lord Jesus died so that we could walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we may also know that there's something beyond the valley of the shadow of death. There's something beyond the river of death, beyond the trials of life. There's something beyond the sickness, beyond our afflictions, beyond our pain. Because the Lord Jesus has paid the way by making payment for our sins, that whoever believes in me, Jesus says, shall never die. Has that statement in John ever baffled you? What do you mean, never die? Those who were present when our brother died, they say they saw him stop breathing. His heart stopped beating. But Jesus says he never died, because he entered from life into eternal life. You see, our death, as we confess at the beginning, is not a payment for sin. We don't enter into eternal death after we die. But it's merely a passageway into eternal life. And that's what Jesus meant when he says, "Those who believe in me shall never die." They are merely taken from this life into eternal life. They are taken into the celestial city. The angels who met Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress told him, "There is Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the innumerable company of angels. You are going now to the paradise of God, where you will see the tree of life and eat of its never-failing fruit. And when you come there, you shall have white robes and will walk and talk every day with the shepherd through all eternity. There you will never again see the sorrow, sickness, affliction, and death you saw when you were on the earth, for the former things have passed away." So when we have the Good Shepherd, we may not only confess with David as he did at the beginning of the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." But we can also say, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Let us pray. Lord, our God and our Father, what a beautiful psalm this is. It was a favorite psalm of our dear brother, and we can see why. is a favorite psalm of many. It's printed on many funeral cards. Most are unaware of its significance. Lord, we pray that it would resonate in our hearts and that we would be comforted also in these same truths that comforted our dear brother. That we would know that the inheritance which awaits us, eye has not seen nor ear has heard, nor it has entered into the heart of man to conceive the things which God has prepared for us. Lord, we pray that you bless us as we partake of the food which has been provided for us. Bless the food to our bodies. But then be with us also as we travel to the cemetery and again open your word and reflect upon the fact that we are laying the body of our dear brother in the grave. And Lord, we pray that this psalm would bring us comfort there too. Be with each of us, O Lord, in our personal circumstances, that we would find our hope and our trust in Jesus Christ as the one who's conquered death and destroyed our enemies, so that we may feast in your eternal presence forever. Blessed be your holy name. Amen. Congregation, we conclude the service with the singing of Psalter 55. It's a Psalter selection based on Psalm 23. And we will sing all the stanzas. And immediately after the service, there's a luncheon in the gym where food is provided for you. And then following the luncheon, the funeral director will call the pallbearers to come back into the sanctuary and load the casket into the hearse. And then we will travel to Surrey. The address to Surrey is found in your program, I believe. It is underneath the order of service, and we will meet at the front gate there. We're not going to try to travel together there. That would be an impossible task considering the highway. So we'll meet at the gate, and so we will not proceed to the graveside until everyone there is met there, and then we'll proceed from there. So if anyone has any questions, please ask the funeral director or myself regarding that. But that's the plan. So at this time, let us stand and sing together from Psalter 55, and we sing all the stanzas, and that will be the conclusion of this service.